Our scripture reading is taken from John 3, 5, verses, reading from five to 21 of the New International Version. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because of their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, we prepare the way of the Lord. We prepare our hearts for you. Thank you for these words that Manny has just read to us. And I want to confess that through the years I take those words for granted. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he also took the words of the Old Testament for granted, that he could not see the new paradigm that Jesus was bringing. So, Lord, we pray this morning as we consider these words which have been read to us and with us, that you will pierce through our stubborn hearts, that you will melt us down to receive your word and to ask your Holy Spirit to touch us as we listened to these words. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people said, Amen. Billy Graham just went home to be with God recently. And if you've been to an event to hear Billy Graham, and most of us have had that experience in our life, you will eventually hear him use these words in his preaching, which is the same words that Marcia read for us. So can we read this NIV perspective of the words together? This verse that we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And most of us who grew up in the King James Version will remember that it says that he gave his only begotten Son. And so now you know why the word begotten is used. His one and only Son, his precious Son. And you will also remember from the King James Version that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know your King James Version well. If I remember correctly, this was the first verse that Mom made sure that my brother and I memorized. And over the years, there have been two questions about this verse that have arisen as I pondered through its meaning over the years. First question is, what does it actually mean to have eternal life or everlasting life? Is it just life that goes on forever and ever and ever? Just some kind of quantifiable life, you know, in terms of the years and months? What does it mean to have eternal life? The second question, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Is God merely looking for an intellectual understanding from us, an understanding that Jesus is the Son of God and that he gave his life to us? So let's deal with the first question first. Those who believe shall not perish but have everlasting life, have eternal life. Now, in the early days, this meant for me that I needed to believe in Jesus to avoid the fires of hell, to go to heaven. And in the early days, I was led to believe that believing in Jesus was a ticket to heaven. So, as I got older, I asked myself this question. What really is heaven? Because of the struggles of life, I believe in heaven being a place, and this is found in Revelation 21 verse 4, which is a great definition of what heaven is, and it's what heaven is not. Because in this verse, Revelation 21 verse 4, it says, there'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And I agree that that's a good definition for heaven. But as I thought through what heaven was like or was or is over the years, I come to realize that heaven is just more than a wonderful place that we all aspire to. And heaven, this to me is the definition of heaven. Heaven is where God dwells. God is the God who created us and saved us. In some ways, every human being on this earth was created for heaven. We were created to be with God. And so we know where Billy Graham is today. So this is the vision of heaven that comes on that final day, which is the verse after the verse I quoted. And let's read this verse together, because to me this is a great definition of heaven. Let us read this verse together. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So eternal life to me means life with an eternal God. So eternal life means eternal God, being with God, being connected to him in a relational sense. So when we do not have eternal life, we are disconnected with God. And when we are disconnected with God, we experience the consequences. So heaven is heaven, not because there'll be no more crying, no more death, no more pain. Heaven is heaven because that's where God is. And heaven is heaven not because we'll have everlasting life or eternal life, life which goes on forever and ever. Heaven is heaven because we will be reconnected with God in the most profound sense. So I've answered the question about eternal life. Eternal life means life with an eternal God. Second question, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? And I now come to the conclusion that the word believe is not a good translation of what the original Greek word is. So it seems to give this idea that all you have to do is to believe intellectually in the head that Jesus is the Son of God and that he gave his life for us. And my question is this, is it any different than going to a history lesson at school and believing that Sir John A. Macdonald is the first Prime Minister of Canada? Is that all that is required of us? You see, the Greek word that is translated as believe, and I actually feel that there is no good translation of that word, but that Greek word pisteuo actually means to believe wholeheartedly, to have faith in someone that they are truly going to save us. So in the recent years, I have not talked about belief, but faith. And I actually prefer the word trust when I talk about believing in Jesus. Can we trust Jesus to save us? And to me, eternal life starts now, because whoever believes in him shall have shall not perish but have eternal life. And so to me, when we give our hearts to Jesus, we are immediately safe. But and God is with us, but we will not experience the total presence of God until we die or until Jesus comes again, whichever comes first. But in the meantime, can we trust God to save us from the disasters of life that we experience? Can we trust him to save us from the trials and tribulations in our lives? So I come to the conclusion that when it says believe in Jesus shall not perish and have eternal life, it actually means more than an intellectual understanding. It means, do we really have faith in Jesus when the going gets tough? Can we really trust in Jesus when we get that cancer diagnosis, or when there's this struggle in talking with our daughter or son at the moment? Can we really trust God that he will be there for us and Jesus will help us as we go through that struggle in our lives? So John chapter 3 is a passage about Nicodemus meeting with Jesus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. This means that he has studied the Old Testament. And Jesus is this controversial young Jewish rabbi who has healed people, taught profound things, and cast out evil spirits. Nicodemus comes at night to talk with Jesus because other Pharisees see Jesus as a threat. He wants to know what makes Jesus tick. So Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Born again. So this puzzles Nicodemus. He says to Jesus, "How can a person be born again? Does a person need to re-enter the womb to be born again?" And Jesus, as usual, makes things even more confusing for Nicodemus. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit." So why does Jesus talk about the kingdom of God and the Spirit? Isn't the kingdom of God a physical kingdom, like the great kingdom of Israel when David was king, when Israel was so well known in the Middle East and King David was on his throne? So this is how Jesus further explains the kingdom of God. So let's go to the first verse now. So this is how Jesus attempts to reply to Nicodemus to explain what the kingdom of God is. So let's read that together. "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." So Jesus is trying to say that the kingdom of God is a concept that goes beyond this world, literally. And he's saying that God the King resides in his throne in heaven. And I've just shared with you that heaven is where God is. So God is king in heaven. And what does this God do? God sends the Son of Man down to earth. So why does Jesus give himself the title Son of Man? Very often in the Gospels, you read Jesus referring to himself as the Son of Man. I believe that Jesus is resurrecting the concept of Son of Man that's found in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Because in that verse, the first occurrence of the term Son of Man is recorded for a human being. Okay? And this Son of Man is given the kingdoms of the world, the ultimate kingdom by the Ancient of Days, by God himself. So the Son of Man really is a king who comes down from heaven, a king who has been enthroned in heaven, but he comes down from heaven. And then Jesus goes on to answer Nicodemus and say this: what is the purpose of this king, this Son of Man, coming from heaven? So let's read again the second explanation of the kingdom of God by Jesus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Okay, so Jesus refers to a time when the people of Israel are in the desert. They are impatient with God and want to go back to Egypt. So what do they complain to God about? And these are their words. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. So God gets angry with Israel in the desert. So he sends poisonous snakes upon them, and many of them die. When many of them died, the people come to Moses and say this: we have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses, the Jesus-like figure, if you like, the Messiah of the moment, prays for the people. And then God says to Moses, make a stick, put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses puts a bronze snake on the pole, and people who look at this bronze snake are saved from the poisonous snakes. So that is why Jesus goes on to say, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. The story of Israel in the desert explains to us what it means to believe in Jesus. It is not mere intellectual knowledge. The people need to look at the bronze snake to save themselves from the poisonous snake. And the people of Israel in the desert reflect the very mess in our lives right now. God liberates Israel from slavery in Egypt. God sends Moses to save them from Pharaoh. Through the events of the Passover, they leave Egypt. However, now they are in the desert. What do? They complain. They want to go back to Egypt. Israel in the desert, if you like, represents the self-centeredness and the disobedience of humanity. Will God save them? And again, it's all by God's grace. The gracious God gives Moses the bronze snake for them to look up to. And if they look at that snake, they will leave. So, like the bronze snake, we must look up to the Son of Man. God does not get Moses to make a bronze snake from us. Instead, what does he do? God sends the Son of Man, Jesus, down from heaven to save us from our mess. We believe in God's only Son because there is no one else to turn to. There is no bronze snake to look at. We can only look to Jesus. And without Jesus, we are doomed, like Israel in the desert. So how can we look up to Jesus? And what happens when we look up to Jesus and we put our trust in Jesus personally? So now I'm going to unpack the concept of being born again. And let's read these key verses in John 3, 5 to 7. Let's read this. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." So, Jesus says that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again, or born of the Spirit. Notice how the term born again is used interchangeably with born of the Spirit. And then Jesus says this, flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. The term born again is actually an incorrect translation of the Greek. The two times that the word born again is used in John chapter 3, it should actually be translated as born from above. Born from above. And so if you read your NIV, when at the first reading of born again, there's an asterisk and it tells you, or there's a footnote, and it tells you that the real translation of born again is born from above. And the translators of the English Bible, dating back to the King James Version, translate the Greek word as born again. And this is due to Nicodemus' reference to whether one needs to re-enter the womb to be born for the second time. But Jesus is not really talking about re-entering the womb or being born again. Jesus is actually talking about the need to be born from above. Born from above. Born from heaven itself. Letting the person of heaven come down and change you totally. Because for me, salvation is totally God's effort from start to finish. It is God who provided Moses with the bronze snake in the desert. It is God who sends the Son of Man down to earth from heaven. It is God who sends the Holy Spirit upon us so that we can be born from above. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. So like Israel in the desert, we are desperate in our sin. We put our trust in Jesus, each of us personally, and God sends His Holy Spirit upon us and changes us from the inside out. It is all God's effort. We experience a makeover. The Holy Spirit changes us from being enemies to being God's children. We are born from above. We are born of the Spirit. There is no human effort involved except to trust in Jesus and to put our lives into Jesus' hands. God seeks us personally through Jesus, who desires for us to be born from above. Now, before I refer to this final story, I just want to say, being born from above is both an experience and a process. And sometimes we tend to come down on the experience and we forget that it's a process. And sometimes we think about it being a process and we forget about experiencing the reality of being born from above. And I'd say to you, as I try to confuse you even more, that being born from above is both an experience and the process. You go through both. You cannot just rely on experience totally, neither can you rely on process. So we are in the process of being born from above. And when God touches you in your life and you sense His presence, that's an experience of being born from above. There were 17 people who lost their lives at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland 3.5 weeks ago. One of them was football coach Aaron Feiss. Coach Feiss was well-loved by his students and their parents. He ushered students to safety as the shots were fired. Then he put himself in the way of bullets to shield three female students from the bullets. So this is the news reporting of Coach Aaron Feiss. Feiss an assistant football coach was killed when he threw himself in front of students to protect them from oncoming bullets, according to football program spokeswoman Dennis Lacio. Fais, 37, suffered a gunshot wound and died after he was rushed into surgery, Lacio said. He died the same way he lived. He put himself second, she said. He was a very kind soul, a very nice man. He died a hero. Colton Hepp, a 17-year-old junior who had a close relationship with Fais, told CNN he saw the coach running toward the sounds of the gunshots. That's Coach Fais. He wants to make sure everybody is safe before himself, he said. He made sure that everyone else's needs were met before his own. He was a hard worker. He worked after school on the weekends, mowing lawns, just helping as many people as possible. Chad Lyons, a student and football player, said, Fais was there for him when he was going through leukemia treatments. He guided me through them. He sent me prayers. He would send me Bible scripts and just stuff to cheer up my day. Funny memes, the player said. He was just an amazing person to be led on and taught by. And I'm thankful enough to be even in his presence, just going through high school. So Coach Fais reminds us of the Son of Man who comes down from heaven and is lifted up for us to look at. Like that bronze snake lifted up in the desert for Israel. The Son of Man comes down from heaven with only one thought: to save us from the sinful mess we are all in. The Son of Man comes down from heaven to take the bullets for us, for you, for me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for coming down from heaven and taking the bullets for us. As we go through this Lent, we want to confess that we are a very forgetful people, like Israel in the desert. And we even forget the immensity of what it took Jesus, the Son of Man, to take the bullets for us. So, Lord, we pray that as we spend the remaining days of this Lent, we will seek God in the city. We will seek to see you as the Son of Man coming down from heaven, coming down to save us from our mess. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.